Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson, in particular, these words from our Lord. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. That's our text, friends, and the theme for us today is this: Satan bound, the Christian free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, what to preach about today? There's certainly a lot of concern because of the coronavirus, and it's no good to pretend it's not there. It's no good to actually pretend it's not serious. But today, with that being said, as people are focusing on germs or viruses, I'd like to direct your attention to a deeper truth, a deeper reality. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against COVID-19. Our battle is not against folk who hoard toilet paper. Our battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, Christians, we know the truth. Behind all of this is the architect. Jesus says that the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what we're fighting against. The devil's our enemy. Now, that being said, in our gospel lesson, Jesus tells us some really important information. Here's what you need to know. The devil is a strong man. But Jesus is stronger. And he has freed you. You're free. This is the way it's always been with the Lord, in fact. Go back to Sunday school and think about Moses and the Pharaoh, the Exodus. The Pharaoh was the satanic character who kept his people, kept God's people in bondage, in slavery. He was a cruel taskmaster. We know, in fact, that he was so cruel that he would take the baby boys, he commanded that the baby boys of the Israelites be thrown into the river and killed. The enemy. He was the strong man. Israel could do nothing in response. They were in bondage. And yet, the Lord proved stronger still. The Lord caused 10 plagues to befall Egypt, and there was nothing the Pharaoh could do about it. The Lord sent the angel of death on the 10th plague so that all the firstborn children in all the land of Egypt, except for Israel, except for those who had the blood of the lamb painted on their doorpost, all of those died, and Pharaoh finally had to release the people. God bound him, and finally, the Pharaoh had to let go. He had no choice, and God took his people, Israel, out of bondage, out of the house of slavery. Of course, the story gets even more interesting because finally, Israel is at the shores of the Red Sea. Pharaoh tries one more time to get them back, and so Pharaoh's great army is behind them. No way backwards, no way forwards. There's no way. And yet we know that with God, there's a way. He's the way maker. And so he actually took the sea, the Red Sea, the place of certain death, and he opened it up, and Israel marched through on dry ground, and all of Israel's enemies, in pursuit, found that the sea of death swallowed them. All of Israel's enemies were behind in the watery grave. They were on the other side of the shore. They lived. They were free. That's a good story. And that's only the illustration of what God is doing for you and for me and for all of his people. See, Jesus, true God, but a true man just like you and me, bound Satan. Here's the interesting bit. For the Exodus, it was the enemy's firstborn that died. In the salvation of the world, it's God's own, his only begotten Son that dies. And yet in death, he wins. In weakness, Jesus wins. Through sacrifice, he brings success. Jesus dies, but Satan is defeated. Jesus is nailed to a cross, but it turns out that it's Satan who is bound. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says this, "Therefore the children share in flesh and blood. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." There we were facing death. It looks like there's no way. And yet through Christ, the sea of death is parted before us. We walk through. We come through on dry ground on the other side. And our enemies are behind us. All who would hold us captive are drowned. They're bound, and we're free. You need to know that. We are free. Now, here's the thing. The devil knows that you're free. The devil knows that he can't change the fact that you are free. And so his tactic now is to convince us who have been set free to live like slaves. In Exodus chapter 15, right after Israel has been delivered, Moses sings this great song of deliverance. Do you know how long it took Israel to start grumbling and start complaining and saying, you know what, we're gonna go thirsty, we're going to go hungry, it would be better if we're back in Egypt. You know how long that took? two verses. Israel entertained the idea that their life would be better off back in Egypt, back in bondage, back in slavery. See, that's what happens when you start to fear. When you entertain the notion that somehow now God has dropped the ball, we got to take care of ourselves. Fear causes us to do and say some funny things like, I'd rather go back to Egypt. See, that's the thing we need to pay attention to. We need to be aware of. Fear causes people to do and say some funny things. We're seeing it now with a little bit of the hysteria. We're seeing it now as you walk through the pharmacy at Walmart. I mean, there's prepping, and then there's stepping on other people to make sure that you get yours and that you're taken care of. Looking out for number one. My wife told me that, I don't know, was it just in Kearney, the formula? So in Kearney, there is no formula. It's all been bought so that there are mothers with their children who can't buy formula. I get all my news from my wife. So there's another story she told me that back up in New England, there's some joker who bought like 1,700 bottles of hand sanitizer so that he could sell it for like $70 a piece. And he's stuck with it now, but yeah. So people driven by fear, trying to monetize fear. And let's be honest, Christians, we hear all of this. We hear what's going on, and it is the temptation for us is to entertain the notion that somehow now there's no way. God's taken care of us before, but now in this circumstance, we're on our own. We got to take care of ourselves, and we're afraid, and we do things, and we say things, and we snap. We are motivated by fear. That's the devil's game. He wants us who are free to live like we are slaves. So here's what I want for us to listen to today. Here's the point. We're not going back. We're not going back to slavery. It doesn't mean we don't feel fear. It just means we don't have to follow fear. When fear shows up, that doesn't mean that fear gets to stay. Did you know you can talk back? When fear comes, you can actually talk back. In fact, look at your fear. Name it, and then preach to it. Tell your fear, listen, if God is for me, who can be against me? He who did not withhold his own son, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Well, now that puts things in context, doesn't it? Is this thing on? Am I swallowing my, am I mumbling? Because I want to make sure you hear this. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation? Is it distress? Is it persecution? Is it famine? Is it nakedness? Is it danger? Is it sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. More than conquerors. Would you please say that with me? More than conquerors. I have a feeling we're going to need to say that in the future. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and hand sanitizer. Our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. This is the kind of preaching you don't have to wait to Sunday to hear. You can preach this stuff to yourself. When fear comes, you tell fear, I see you, but you're not welcome. I have a word for you. See, I know too much. God has revealed too much. I am free from looking out for number one because I know number one. Number one loves me. He's died for me. I don't have to look out for number one because number one's looking out for me. We're not going back to Egypt. We are not going back to Satan. We're not going back to bondage. We're not going back to fear. I'm free. I'm free. I need somebody here today to tell Satan, I'm free. All right? I'll do it myself. I'm free. Say it with me.
I'm free.
The church needs to forget this idea that we're forgiven. Salvation is something in the distant future. And right now, we got to look around our back because who knows when Satan's going to smite us. That's not the life of the Christian. In fact, here's what Satan doesn't want you to know. Not only are you free, but he's bound. Not only are we not victims, we're conquerors. And God binds Satan through you and me. Because think about this. If Satan was bound in the cross of Jesus, and we're the body of Christ, that means that Satan is bound in the cruciform life of the church. The church has a shape. It looks like the cross. Here's what it means, that we live by prayer and sacrifice. Prayer and sacrifice. I'll say it one more time. Prayer and sacrifice. Satan is bound when we pray. You notice that the entire life of Jesus, who defeated the devil, was a life of prayer. In chapter 14, we hear of Jesus casting out a demon, binding the work of Satan. Just before that, he's talking about prayer. You know how far back you got to go to hear Jesus teaching about prayer? One verse. God knows how to give good gifts to his children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's all over. So when Zechariah gets the message from Gabriel that he's going to have a boy who's going to make way for the Son of God, he's in prayer. When Jesus is baptized and God reveals himself, the voice from heaven, the dove that is the Holy Spirit upon him, Jesus is praying, we're told in Luke chapter 11. Before Jesus chooses his 12 apostles from the number of disciples, Jesus spends time in prayer. Before he teaches people who he is, Jesus, when he says, who do people say that I am? And he teaches them that he is the Christ, he spends time in prayer. Before he sends out the 72 to cast out demons, to heal people, Jesus spends time in prayer. Before he teaches the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is praying. Jesus tells a parable about a widow who keeps bothering this judge who won't give her justice until he finally gives her justice for this reason, so that we might continue to pray and not lose heart. At the institution of the Lord's Supper, Jesus takes bread and he prays. And at the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what he's about to do, Jesus is praying. On the cross, the majority of our Lord's words are prayer. Have I made the point? the words of Alfred Lord Tennyson, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. When you get down on your knees in prayer, the devil's bound. That's why we're going to meet and pray at church until, hopefully we can continue to, but if not, for a little while, we'll deal with that too, but we can still pray. But we are going to gather, and we are going to call upon our Lord for mercy. Our eyes are going to look to the Lord for mercy. And every time, every Sunday, every prayer office, every time we gather together, every time we pray in our closet, God's will is being done and Satan's will is bound. You're free and you bind Satan when you pray. You bind Satan when you serve and sacrifice. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so we give, heal, and we create. Do you realize the power that God has bestowed upon us? That we can absorb evil and give back good? People curse us and we give back blessing. People hurt us and we give back forgiveness. The world is in panic. And we quietly serve. Even the little things. See, the picture in the Bible is that we're sort of between life and death. And in that continuum, we can kind of move towards death or we can move towards life. And anything that you can do, the Bible says even a cup of water that helps somebody who's thirsty moves them this way towards life. And it matters. If the devil had his way, we wouldn't get a crusty piece of bread, a moldy piece of bread. But when we serve, when we sacrifice, when we look at our neighbor in love, the people to whom we're called, Satan is bound. Truth is, Christians were famous in days of old for caring for plague victims. There's one historian who said during the plague at the time of St. Cyprian, the work of the Christians reduced mortality in Christian communities by as much as 2/3. Even they won converts, and they hastened the spread of Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. This is what we do because we're free. We're the body of Christ. And so, little things. Here's a few things that we're doing as a congregation. Number one, you can sign up, you can volunteer to help try to keep this place clean, wipe down services. We want to take care of the people of this congregation, and so we are going to take extra measures to clean. Another opportunity we have. CDC says if you're over 60, you might want to consider and if you're predisposed to sickness, you should probably stay home as much as possible. So again, we have a sign-up list. And for people who don't have relatives close by and they need medications, they need groceries, we can just go buy them for them and bring it to them. It's a small thing. For sure, we're doing this for our own families, by the way. Also, you have another opportunity. The churches here in Hastings have had this idea. Make a meal, make double your meal that you're making, take half of it and freeze it, let us know that you've got a meal, and then we'll coordinate, and when somebody is sick, when somebody can't get out of the house, we'll leave that meal on their doorstep with instructions, with a note of encouragement. Simple things, they're easy things. But it moves the continuum towards life. And Satan's not getting his way. Because we're not living by fear, we're living by love. If you have ideas, we'd love to hear them. Satan is bound. Because Christ's body, the church, can't help but reach out in love and compassion and mercy. So that's the story. I've introduced 2020. I set the theme all in for 2020, being present in the age of distraction. Here's an opportunity for us to be all in. The world's distracted, but we're present in the body of Christ. The world has cause for fear. We have cause to be Christian. We are present in prayer, in sacrifice, in love. And we have only confidence because we know how this story ends. We get through the sea of death to the other side. We live in peace and blessedness forever. There's nothing the devil can do about it. And now our lives have purpose too. Satan's bound. We're free. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.